This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
The world is focused on a new COVID-19 variant and what Omicron poses some big threats to the U.S. economy, so says the Fed chair. Also, while that's going on, it was Cyber Monday, but it seems like people were willing to hit the keystrokes of either their phone or the keyboard and order, order, order. It's probably going to be a gangbuster amount of money that was spent on Cyber Monday, Monday, unlike Black Friday, where less people went to the stores, although still plenty was made. It just didn't set any records. Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Happy Hanukkah to those who celebrate. And it is the season. There's no question we're into the slide of the end of the year. Coming up in a few weeks, we'll have the best of the year, people we talked to, and what happened that was thumbs up in our worlds and what was truly chaotic. And there was plenty of that, plus predictions looking ahead to what 2022 may yield. Notice I say may. We do live under the big question mark. I think many people are kind of used to it now. Some have serious anxiety because of it. I have friends who we've had on this show who are psychologists and psychiatrists and are in the counseling business, and they can't keep up with the amount of people who want to get some time with them because they just don't feel right. It feels shaky. They're tired of what's negative. They're tired of the polarization of neighbor pitting themselves against neighbor because of how they feel about masks or vaccines or how things are being handled politically speaking. So there is some poison that oozes through our streets, and we certainly all know that. I hope you had a chance to get what I call a brain break and not think about any of it. Just take your time. Take some moments to take deep breaths and hang out with grandkids or kids on the floor and play games, other family members, or just hang out with your pals, or sit by yourself and read a book that you can be buried in. You know, we are excited this past year about some of the authors that we've introduced you to. To me, it's important to have that author's corner for a good escape, too, for many people who are looking for a good story or looking for something to lift them up. And we certainly have had a lot of those stories for you and those kinds of authors. So we'll bring you the best of those, too, at the end of the year as well. Let's talk about the threats to the economy thanks to this new variant. You know, here we go again. Pretty much that's what we all said when we heard about it. But the Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell is set to testify Tuesday that Omicron variant is going to be very threatening to the economic recovery because there's so many unknowns and it prolongs the pandemic. It could keep prices rising. It could hurt job growth. And of course, the supply chain crisis could grow worse. Specifically, what he said is the recent rise in COVID-19 cases and the emergence of this new variant poses downside risks to employment and economic activity and increased uncertainty for inflation, the dreaded word. Wall Street sold off stocks and oil Friday. It was a really tank moment for the market. In fact, the biggest drop all year long after learning about this highly infectious and more immunity-resistant variant. But then the market bounced back. A lot of the ground that was lost on Friday was made up on Monday because guess what? People took a breath. And then they saw the buying opportunity. It is the ultimate craps table. Negative news shakes it up and moves the chips, but then more positive or optimistic views brings it back down to earth. And then opportunity, of course, is ultimately what Wall Street is all about. So when we look at this new variant and we look at the, you know, ultimately the things that are being discussed with shutdowns, et cetera, and what can we do and what does this mean to all of us, it's still that same conversation that we've had from the very, very beginning. Do you believe in vaccines? Do you think it's your best way of protecting yourself, whether you feel 100%, you know, comfortable or not? Countries are scrambling around the world to stop the spread. It is a serious category, this one. The WHO said the variant first detected in South Africa has a number of genetic mutations, and we know what that means. It might allow it to spread quickly. What mutations, that's what they do, especially among those who aren't vaccinated. But guess what? Those who are vaccinated could face the same thing. Scientists say vaccines seem likely the key word, to work against it, but it's not 100% positive. It's been spotted in Hong Kong, Belgium, Canada, Germany, Italy, Britain. So African officials are not happy with these new travel bans, saying the continent was again bearing the brunt of panicked policies from Western countries and that vaccine hoarding helped pave the way to the crisis. They're saying, you're screwing us up by not giving us the vaccines we need, and then you blame us and shut everything down for us. European nations didn't find the variant until after South Africa alerted them of it, and so they have gaps in their own way to look at this, and this is what the response has been. England reimposes a mask-wearing order for stores and public transportation. In Amsterdam, chaos basically ensued for passengers traveling to South Africa. New York State declared a state of emergency in anticipation of a new surge in cases. So the governor's saying, no, this is a state of emergency already. Omicron got its name from, of course, the Greek alphabet that we're going down, and how we're running out of, what do we call this? And at this point, now it's also a question of what happens with these mandates in many of these companies. Some of the needle there got moved a little bit. When I say it got moved, it got punted to January. And, of course, we're into the winter months where it's much tougher, especially in the Midwest and especially in the Northeast, because that's where you really feel it. In some of the warmer climates, there's a better chance to continue to do things outdoors. And even if it gets a little bit cooler, it's not the kind of cold weather that they get in some of the other areas of the country. So we look at this, and then we see that hospital workers are not happy, or they're rejected at the Supreme Court on the vaccine mandate. And this is part of what the big hope was. So there was some, you know, the Supreme Court refused to block the vaccine mandate for Massachusetts hospital workers because this was a very big test. Ultimately, does this get to the high court, not the state Supreme Courts that have tackled this, but to the high court? Of course, I think so. Justin Stephen Breyer on Monday refused to grant relief to workers at a Boston-based hospital in the latest challenge to the COVID-19 vaccine mandates to come across in the shadow docket, as they call it. Yikes. Much more coming your way on the flip side.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick, I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You've heard that supply lines are down or moving slow. And that most everything costs more these days. But good news! High-quality Sunny Bay products are in stock and ready to ship now because they're made in the USA. Like our extra-long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs, are microwavable, and come in a variety of colors and patterns. What a great gift! An extra-long neck heating pad from Sunny Bay. Also available in lavender scented. Buy now in time for the holidays and avoid any shipping delays. Available on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. They're great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. So this year, give the gift of pain relief. An extra long neck wrap from Sunny Bay. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Order now when our stock is high and shipping is fast. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
Emily Dalton Smith, head of social impact at Meta, is here to share with us how we can get involved in Giving Tuesday.
As another pandemic year begins to wind down, we want to focus on the goodness we see across our platforms. The power of social connection is changing how people give back to their communities, and I'm really excited to see how people will get involved this Giving Tuesday. I'm also proud Meta is supporting what's important to our community by matching up to $8 million in donations made to nonprofits.
Emily, what businesses and people will this support?
Whether you're supporting a Black-owned business through Buy Black Friday, donating to a stranger's fundraiser about a cause you love, or doing something completely different, I really hope people will consider giving. It can make all the difference in the world for someone and can be pretty impactful for the giver, too.
Emily, where can we go to find out more information?
You can check out all the details on how Meta is encouraging giving back this holiday season by visiting fb.me/givingseason2021.
The buzz in my backyard and your backyard, and it is absolutely still about the prolonged pandemic and the effects of it, whether you thumb your nose at it or not, whether you think it's a vast conspiracy or whatever your point of view is. And there's plenty of, I call it, poves out there, meaning that this is it, right? I mean, this is the ultimate chess match of what you think the outcome is going to be. But I think that from what I understand, and we will delve into this as we move along because I care about the direction we're headed, the U.S., and of course there's other people listening to us from other countries that tell me what's happening in their countries. Many of them are some of the authors that we've had on. But the alarm has been sounded again. And I talked to a doctor I seriously respect, and he said to me, you know what, it's going to be like the flu. It's going to be, you're going to be getting these shots. Plan on the rest of your life getting these shots or not getting these shots. And his point of view was, if you don't and you're in a lot of these spaces where you could get COVID-19, whatever the variant is, then expect that you could be fighting for your life. And I've seen this now happen to a couple of my friends who did survive it. A few of them have been on the show to talk about it. We had Clay Grubbs on. We had Mark Goldman on. I have another friend who's just recovering from it and wants to come on. And he was vaccinated. But he was in a giant crowd of unvaccinated people indoors, and and thought he was pretty safe, but they think that may be a timeline thing, and not even 50. So, you know, this is the great, ultimately, the great debate that we can't escape. I do think we need to escape some of that conversation, absolutely, and live our lives. To me, my mantra is when I wake up, live life or life lives you. And some people are letting life live them, and you go down that really, really scary, dark place, which is, you know, in your mind, which is why we've seen so many horrific stories of suicides on the rise, suicide lines blowing up more than usual, and people who feel despondent as they bombard themselves with more and more of that conversation. But it is the absolute ultimate conversation that at some point, I guarantee almost every single person listening to me, 99% of you had at some point, perhaps over the weekend, if you gathered with anybody in your tribe, I'll call it, meaning anybody that you normally hang out with or family or, you know, whatever, and people with all kinds of different opinions, let's put it that way. All right, we're going to zig and zag in a couple of different directions. I will say this, that from the White House, when they talk about this variant, they're saying the president said it's a cause for concern, but not for panic. This is the message so far, not for panic. No shutdowns or lockdowns. But, again, pushing vaccinations, boosters, testing, and all of that. And, of course, the travel restrictions are definitely going to be, certainly, with any of the countries in South Africa and any of the countries that have been listed on a list of eight that were blocking as far as coming into the United States. But South Africa was the one that first reported it and now detected in multiple countries, including Canada. And as you know, we know it's going to come up in the United States. I mean, you know, that's the bottom line. It's probably here where, you know, who knows where it's like whack-a-mole. Who knows where it pops up. But how contagious, and I already said the word that's being used is highly contagious, highly contagious. So the requirement that workers at larger businesses get vaccinated or be regularly tested for the coronavirus, guess what, is on hold. We know that, right? Because there's lots of legal challenges in lots of different states, and businesses are proceeding as usual. There was an announcement last week that just before we left for the holiday that 92% of federal employees had received at least one dose of the vaccine by that November 22nd deadline for those workers. So there you have it. Meanwhile, there are definitely some other things that are happening that have popped up on my radar and probably your radar as well when it comes to travel, for example. In our own country, there were packed planes. I was one of the people on a packed plane, but I was on a plane that had been reconfigured on American on my way back from Florida, where I was, to Texas, and there was a pretty nice space in between the seats. Now, you know, it wasn't 6 feet apart, but it was definitely comfortable, and there was difference. And there's also a difference in, at least the plane I was on, the civility. People were friendly. They were nice. They were helping people put luggage up, and nobody was screaming or assaulting anybody. I didn't have one of those experiences. There was an outbreak among the people that did travel. There was a woman who attacked two flight attendants on a Spirit Airlines flight to Nashville on Saturday night. A passenger restrained her. Then when she came off the plane, the police were waiting. She screamed at the police to shoot her. She kept screaming, shoot me, shoot me. And she was heavily intoxicated. The flight crew got on the grounds at around 7 o'clock. This was a flight that took off from Fort Lauderdale. So that's a quick flight. I mean, that's like an hour flight. And when the plane pulled in, basically at the gate, members of the crew told the cops that were there waiting that she had attacked two flight attendants, punching one and pulling the other's hair. What has happened to people? So, of course, Spirit is going to say, we don't tolerate aggressive behavior. This passenger cannot ever fly on our flights, ever. When the passenger got off and other passengers were restraining her feet with zip ties, because now, of course, that is the method of calming unruly passengers. They have to have lots of zip ties. In fact, a flight attendant that I know said, oh, yeah. We have zip ties. Don't ask me how many. That's what she said to me. So this woman smelled like alcohol. She was slurring, screaming, all that kind of stuff. Apparently, you know, she told them. She said she drank a lot. She said, I didn't do anything wrong, and kept screaming, shoot me. They slammed her into a police cruiser, or no, not slammed her, but basically put her into a cruiser. And she didn't even want to do that. She was stiffening her legs to prevent them from closing the door on her. But they got her to jail, right? And then she was released on Sunday. But you can bet she's going to be processed through the courts. If the flight crew doesn't want to press charges, which it looks like they might be, they feel badly for her, they might not do that. She could face a serious fine. So that was it. That, to my knowledge, that was the only big thing that happened. I mean, not certainly in the last couple of months, but over this really packed planes for Thanksgiving travel, which of course set a pandemic record. I was kind of iffy about doing it, but I'd already made plans to do it, so I felt fine. And you all know I'm vaccinated. I'm vaccinated and boosted because I am of the belief that this is the way to protect yourself. And I personally love life and don't want to have a premature death, and I think this is the best route to go. So, like I said, packed planes. The Transportation Security Administration said they screened over 2 million people, 2,451,000 people Sunday. I left on Sunday, and it started to get really backed up behind me, and that's more than double the nearly 1.2 million people who passed through checkpoints on the Sunday after Thanksgiving last year, but it's still shy of what it used to be if we went back and looked at 2019. So now there's the next holiday coming up, and there will be people that will probably fly, I'm certain, for Christmas. And this is now dealing with whatever the travel restrictions might be from other countries as we learn more and more about this variant. All right, stay with us. We have a few funny things to throw your way next.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email. advertise@gcnlive.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit gcnlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Biden is talking with CEOs and other business leaders about supply chain gridlock and holiday shopping. During a White House photo op, Biden saying he's very pleased about the cooperation between business and labor in dealing with supply chain bottlenecks at U.S. ports.
I want to hear from each of you about what you're seeing this holiday season. How well prepared are you to have products you need on your shelves? And know how you've innovated and hired to overcome the supply chain challenges.
Biden also calling the new Omicron coronavirus variant a cause for concern but not panic. Texas Governor Greg Abbott is promising the lights will stay on this winter in Texas following a near collapse of the state's electrical system last February. USA Radio News. A high-profile trial is kicking off in New York City.
On July 2, 2020, Ghislaine Maxwell, Jeffrey Epstein's ex-girlfriend and longtime associate, was arrested on multiple criminal charges related to his trafficking and sexual abuse of young women and girls. She was denied bail and remained behind bars in Brooklyn, New York, with her jury trial set to begin today in New York City.
Oh my gosh, I was 14 years old. Like, what the hell, you know, when you're that young?
Epstein accuser Jennifer Arose on NBC News. Epstein pleaded guilty to a felony charge of solicitation of prostitution involving a minor back in 2018. From the West Coast USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
Twitter founder Jack Dorsey is stepping down as CEO of the social media giant. The move confirmed by Twitter and it's effective immediately. Dorsey saying he will stay on the board of directors for now, Twitter moving a chief technology officer into that role as CEO. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never not once been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Boom, 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 boom.
Santa baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa baby, a 54 convertible to light blue.
Certainly lightens the mood, doesn't it? I got some other things that will make you chuckle. Speaking of gifting, how about this? An Australian woman who won a lottery jackpot of more than $1.4 million said a store clerk talked her into buying the ticket that earned her that serious loot. Okay, I have something to say about this. This was, and we talked to so many people from this area. This was somebody from Brisbane that she was going to buy a ticket for a different lottery drawing when she visited the Nitel Brunswick store in Fortitude Valley. I'm going to Fortitude Valley. So she went in, and it was like a news place, and she wasn't going to play this game. It was called Saturday Gold Lotto. But, boom, she gets the ticket, and sure enough, she wins. And she said it couldn't have come at a better time for her family, that it was stressful, had it been a terribly stressful year, and this would take pressure off, and it would help the children and grandchildren, and they could retire earlier than expected. Woohoo! So I want to know, did the woman go back and tip the clerk? And if you won $1.4 million, what would your tip be for the person who convinced you, waiting on you, behind the glass, what would your tip be because of them? You played this game and won, and hopefully she will give her some money, something. You know, that's the tradition when you go into a casino. We know the house always wins, but if you go into a casino and you do win, you tip whoever it is that ends up giving you the money. I mean, that's what you do. It's like a bad luck thing if you don't do it. So I hope she tips the clerk. That would be the first person I would seek out. No question about it. But good for her. That's a nice way to fly out of a weekend, isn't it? If you had an overdue library book, would you, and it was like crazy overdue, would you take it back? You find it all of a sudden and it's years later, would you take the book back? I had this happen to me once in a move, and they basically forgave me. Like, I was moving from New Mexico to California, and I'd always gone, I even knew the people at the front because I loved to read. See, I loved to read, and I would go in and check out books and on all kinds of different things. So I just mailed it back to them. They were cool with it, and they told me I didn't owe them anything. But it wasn't 110 years old. So this, an Idaho library is talking about the return of an overdue book that was checked out from a library 110 years earlier. The family tried to return it, I guess, but it's no longer there. It's a defunct library. So the Boise Public Library said the book New Chronicles of Rebecca by Kate Wiggin was returned to a different one, a Garden Valley library, and transferred to the main branch. It was checked out, check this out, it was checked out November 8th, 1911. And, of course, that library isn't in operation anymore. I think that is crazy. And it was returned anonymously. They don't have records, because now they don't have records of that. So they have no idea where the book has been for 110 years. And I'm sure it's going to remain a mystery, because who's going to come forward and say, hey, that was my great-grandmother, and she moved, and she was embarrassed, and this is, no, I don't think so. You know what the fees would have been? It would have been $800 at the 2 cents a day rate. That's what it was in 1911. But, of course, now it's different. And the book was originally $1.50, so that would have been the cost that they charged. I think that story is wild. And then I wonder, if you're unpacking family boxes, somebody dies, and you're going through an attic, a basement, a whatever, to some boxes, and you come across that, do you take it back? Do you dump it off? It makes for a great story. And if I worked there, I would love to try to unravel the mystery, but I don't think they will, because the person would have to come forward. But I confess, I told you my deal. It was just an accidental thing, and it was like a month overdue, but they said no. And it would have been a decent chunk of change, because they had a problem with people doing that. So I would have had to pay, I want to say it was like $20 or $25, something like that. This I could never do. The unicycle thing? I don't even know if I would try it. Now, the electric unicycle might be a little bit different, but there was, once again, we go to Idaho. There was an Idaho man who climbed on an electric unicycle and rode 35 miles while juggling 3 balls. Why? Because he wanted to set a Guinness World Record. The guy's name is David Rush, and he's broken more than 200 Guinness records to promote STEM education, which I love that. So he wanted to attempt the record for the farthest distance traveled on an electric unicycle while juggling for a few years, but he just came across what he needed, the vehicle. So a friend gave it to him, so he was able to do that before the battery died out. And he took it to a local track. He was able to juggle while riding for 141 laps. That's 35 miles. So the record-breaking trip lasted 2 hours, 29 minutes, and 30 seconds. Yeah. Laps 141 around a track doing that. Well, first of all, I can't really juggle. I can sort of juggle three balls, but not for that long of a time period. And not without... I know I would drop them. I can't imagine, even as much as I would practice. What I think is so fascinating is that he's compelled to break all these records. He loves the idea of breaking records, but the fact that he's pointing to STEM education, I think, is a really interesting twist in all of that. I mean, good for him, right? And you might have heard this story. I love this story, since we're doing the lighter side of what's happening in our world. And I'm going to spend some time in Davenport coming up, I guess, in 2022. I'm going there for a speech, and I'll be there for at least a couple of days. And I was reading this story, and I love this story. So there were these firefighters in Iowa. They pulled up boards from a family's deck. Why? To free a puppy trapped underneath it. They responded to a house where a woman said that her five-month-old puppy, Buddy is his name, was stranded beneath the deck. She could hear him crying under the floorboards. So he had crawled under the deck, and his leash got tangled where they just could not reach him. They couldn't do it. They kept trying. They were trying everything they could think of to grab this leash, get him, pull him out. They just couldn't do it. So the firefighters ended up pulling up some of the deck boards so they could lift the puppy to safety, because they had no other way to do it either. That was the only way they could do it. So get out the drill, lift up the boards, and rescue the puppy. And, you know, that's the thing about puppies, right? And small kittens and whatnot. They can get in those crevices. Sometimes they're just kind of curious and they fall into certain places, or they're looking for warm spots or food or, you know, whatever it might be, and then they end up in a place or a space where you cannot get them. You know, that whole thing with the leash too is the thing that's tricky. I don't know if this has happened to any of you, for any of you that have dogs, but me still being relatively new to the dog scene, yes, I had a Mahalo and now I have Guinness, but I didn't grow up around dogs, so I'm sort of learning on the job. And I was taking the puppy to a dog park and went to get out of the car. He had his leash on in the back seat, and he was stuck. I could not get him, and he was whining, wanted to get out. He could see the other dogs, and it was almost like I was strangling him. I can't get it loose. And he'd gotten caught, the leash, the loop of the leash had gotten caught where the seat moves up and down. And it was just near impossible for me to get that thing off. I thought, I'm just going to, luckily I had a handy dandy Swiss Army knife with me. And I thought, I'm just going to have to cut this leash, because this dog is getting tighter and he's getting more frantic to get out and doesn't understand why I'm not letting that happen. So there is something about the dog with the leash that can get caught somewhere if they start to run, like this happened with Buddy and those boards, or in my case where I was just trying to, he was in the car and I was trying to get him out to simply go and frolic in the dog park. All right, this is a good husband. This is a good husband as far as a gift is concerned. An India man paid tribute to his wife of 27 years by building her a house in the shape of a miniature replica of the iconic Taj Mahal, because Anand Chosky said she wanted it. So it took 3 years to complete the construction. He built it for his wife. She was shocked, overwhelmed, and said she had married the best man on the face of the earth. Was it all worth it? I bet it was. Mailroom next.
Emily Dalton Smith, head of social impact at Meta, is here to share with us how we can get involved in Giving Tuesday.
As another pandemic year begins to wind down, we want to focus on the goodness we see across our platform. The power of social connection is changing how people give back to their communities, and I'm really excited to see how people will get involved this Giving Tuesday. I'm also proud Meta is supporting what's important to our community by matching up to $8 million in donations made to nonprofits.
Emily, what businesses and people will this support?
Whether you're supporting a Black-owned business through Buy Black Friday, donating to a stranger's fundraiser about a cause you love, or doing something completely different, I really hope people will consider giving. It can make all the difference in the world for someone and can be pretty impactful for the giver, too.
Emily, where can we go to find out more information?
You can check out all the details on how Meta is encouraging giving back this holiday season by visiting fb.me/givingseason2021.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Registered pharmacist Ben Fuchs ensures he gets the best use of his mineral supplements by using Youngevity's Ultimate Enzymes.
If you start a nutritional supplement program and you find that you get loose stools more than you get any benefits from the supplements, there's a good chance that you're not absorbing the minerals. Now, here's the thing about minerals and mineral absorption. You need to have a functioning fat system. You need to have functioning bile. You need to have a well-functioning liver and a well-functioning gallbladder in order to get the benefits from nutritional supplements with minerals. It's very common that as we get older, we don't absorb fats, we don't utilize fats, and then you won't be utilizing or absorbing minerals either. I would be getting on the Ultimate Enzymes from Youngevity. I'd be making sure I was taking it with all my meals.
To get optimal use of your nutritional supplements, order Ultimate Enzymes from Youngevity by calling 866-735-2470. That's 866-735-2470 or on the web at brightsideben.com. That's brightsideben.com. Order today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Now let's talk about the milk. Can we talk about the milk, please, Mac? I'm dying to talk about the milk with you all day, okay?
Oh, yeah.
The milk.
Indeed, let's dig in the mailbag. We didn't have to dig very far. A lot of people on this variant, a lot of different opinions. This one from Thomas, who says, "Hey, Kate, I am so tired of all of it, as I know everybody else is weary. I think that's the exhaustion I see on so many faces of my friends and neighbors and so many other people that I run into. I'm listening to you on 1340 AM. You've been on, I think, for a couple of months, maybe longer than that. I do enjoy your offerings, and I do have to say, thumbs down to the fact that we're dealing with Omicron and yet another variant, and I don't understand. I was not a vaxxer. I was against the vaccine. I don't want people telling me what to do with my health, but this is a public health crisis. And I see it in states where people are digging their heels in and they have underlying conditions. And then we see the sad, tragic video of them telling the world they should get a vaccine. They wish they had gotten a vaccine. Yes, I know that there are things that happen to people that aren't so great that have gotten the vaccine in a very, very small, small number. Why is this political? Why is this something that we're constantly wrestling with? We live in the greatest country, as you say, on the face of the earth. I just don't understand the stubbornness, but I was one of them, and then I converted when a neighbor two doors down, perfectly healthy, also was not getting vaccinated and died and left his family to fend for themselves. It was devastating, and it still is, and we're seeing the effects of it. Well, there you go. She said it, you know, out of Iowa, you said it. It is what happens, right? So until it happens, it's in your face. Sometimes if something's in your face and then it hits and breaks through and seems to choke you, and then all you can think of is why. I hate the if only. If I had done this, if this had happened. And not everybody's saying that, of course. I've talked about this before. Phil Valentine, who had me on his show, I went back and looked it up. I probably was on his show maybe a dozen times in my career. And he was funny and glib, and I thought, wow, he had a way with language. I liked the way he talked to me when I was on as a guest, and he was always so supportive of me and what was happening in my little engine that could. And it was fun to be on a show, and mostly we would just talk about sports. And he died from COVID-19. He wasn't vaccinated, and he played bits on his show about, you know, the vax man and that kind of thing. And then he shockingly and in good health got COVID and couldn't beat it. Ended up in the hospital, ended up dying, and what a tragedy, and what a loss to the Nashville radio listeners, because he had definitely had a lot of big fans there, and people in other parts of the country knew him too. And his brother, of course, saying that he wanted people to know that he thought they should be vaccinated when it was all said and done. So there you go. All right, this one is from Chris, and Chris says, Kate, you know, it's so difficult to know what to believe, who to believe, and what you should do when it comes to your family and the world that we're living in these days. We're seeing the smash and grabs, somebody losing their mind and plowing into innocent children in Wisconsin. And, you know, there's always an outrage of the day. We definitely know that. So whether it's the parade killer or something else horrible, equally horrible that's happening, just give me a break with the constant seesaw that we all seem to be on. I mean, I've lost some friends over the fact that my family and I have been vaccinated, and I tried to stay away from any kind of controversy, but in the end, it all spilled out with my group of friends in talking about what we were doing and how we were deciding to get boosters or not get boosters or any of that, or waiting in line. Remember, initially in the beginning of this thing, for our first shot. So there is definitely a lot of divisiveness and lines drawn in the sand because of the situation we're in this world with the pandemic, and it's just pretty damn sad, I have to say. Yeah, there you go. Again, I can't add much to that than to say, you know what, it is sad. Of course it's sad. What do you do? You know, look, the no policy policy that we seem to have in the United States clearly doesn't seem to be working. The neighbor against neighbor, what's happening with the economy, the ability to not be able to fill positions, companies that are struggling because of that, but employees that now have suddenly all these rights and perhaps maybe more opportunities. It is an upside down kind of Rubik's Cube, right? So, I mean, here's the thing. We live in a time of preserving our way of life, right? Trying to preserve our way of life, whatever that looks like. And we're fumbling around in the dark, and some of us are doing it very, very badly. We're wasting time. There's so much fear-mongering. There's so much nonsense that's happening. There's so many people that are bailing on people. Oh, it hurts my heart. I don't get it. I can honestly say thank God for the friends and family I have, even if we don't agree on a lot of things or agree on other things, because the one thing I know, they have my back no matter what. No matter that I do this for a living or sit behind a mic or talk in a mic, they don't care. That they're people that have known me and they're people that enjoy my sometimes off-kilter humor. And we've known each other for a while or a short period of time, but I'm happy to say that I have many more of those people in my life. And I think it's sad for other people who have lost friends because of the things that are happening, the misinformation, and who do you believe, and how are you parceling this out, and what are you looking at, and all that kind of stuff. Absolutely. All right, speaking of that, how about this one? This one is from Wendy, who says, Kate, it just sickens me what happened to those young kids or any people that were involved in that parade outside of Milwaukee. This guy, how can he sit there and cry in court? I hope they throw the book at him. Killing six and injuring 62 people at a Christmas parade? Are you kidding me? I don't care if he's trying to get out of a knife attack or domestic problems. He had a chance to not rip through the street and murder innocent people. The fact that anyone could defend him just makes me feel horrible about the way we are in this country. I mean, hey, we are innocent until proven guilty, but I think that they've got him dead to rights, if you know what I mean. And the fact that he plowed his SUV just into the crowd and killed all those people and injured so many others, it's so heartbreaking when I look at some of those photos of the makeshift memorials that have been set up after that parade crash at a time when people should be celebrating in a very, very sad time for many of us with where the world is headed. Listen, I agree. I mean, what adjectives can I say and add to that? It's horrific. He had a criminal record. He pled guilty to felony battery back in 1999. He was in Nevada. He was on the sex offender registry after he impregnated a 15-year-old girl. He has an active warrant there for bail jumping on another sex crime charge. I mean, listen, I can't imagine that this is going to go well for Daryl Brooks, who was freed on bail. We'll see. Remember, you can email me day or night, Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. Thanks for listening to this hour of the show. And Nathan, shout out. You rock as the technical maestro of our offerings. This is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.